Hey, we got a couple of young men in the studio right now. Actually, we have three because they brought a friend along. But that's Greg Petrie and Lucas Will, and they have just completed at the early part of October a trip around all the way around Lake Superior, and that's over 1,200 miles. Welcome to the show, you guys.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. That's a long way when you think about 1,200 miles. And we were just talking off air about the old days when somebody would hike, from Hovland to town for a dentist appointment. Bob?
And
they didn't have to go 1,200 miles. But then maybe you didn't have a dental appointment. You guys kind of did it for different reasons, and both graduating from UMD in outdoor education.
Yep.
In 2006. Mm-hmm. Now, you spent a little time apart going your separate ways, but got back together for just a big adventure.
Yeah, we had started talking about the trip when we were in college as roommates, and pretty much picked this summer as the summer to do it. So,
mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard to arrange your lives so that you can take 3-4 months off.
It is.
That couldn't have been easy even now for you.
Well, you would think so, but for Greg and I, our degrees in recreation outdoor ed, and what we've done since graduating in 06 is a lot of seasonal work, and we've chosen when we wanted to work, and I mean worked for the most of that, but guiding outdoor education, and we've worked for colleges, and it tends to be seasonal, whether it's the academic season or the summer, and so to just choose not to work for a summer is what we ended up doing basically for this trip.
And Greg, you're from St. Peter and Lucas from White Bear. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're sitting there on that big body of water while you're at UMD. But being an outdoor ed, there has to be a lot of challenges that you could think of to do, whether it's mountaineering or whatever type of adventures out there. Was the big lake, your being in Duluth, that was the big pull to make you decide this is the adventure for us?
It really was. I think we both grew up coming to Lake Superior and goofing around on the shores, and then college was just kind of a big extension of that time. We got to know more of the nook and crannies along the Minnesota and Wisconsin shoreline while going and taking classes at UMD. And, you know, it kind of, one night we were just expressing, you know, our profound love for this lake and decided that it would be really cool to see the entire shoreline in one solid push from the seat of a kayak.
And you mentioned from the seat of a kayak. It's a different view from a kayak than it is from just about any other watercraft. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Very unique. You know, and that was the cool thing for us. We knew the Minnesota shoreline really well, but that was from shore. And so to get in a kayak and to go all the way around, I mean, it's so personal. You're right on the water, and you see things that you would not see otherwise. And actually, the funny thing for us, too, we discovered, at least for me, toward the end of the trip, was if we were to ever do this again, we'd have to go the other way, because even just turning around and to look behind you throughout this trip, you'd see things that you didn't see that you just passed.
Yeah.
And so to go the other way, it'd be an entirely different shoreline, you know.
And since you bring that up, how did you decide on what direction to go to come around? Now, we were kidding before the show. Well, you want to keep it on your left, but I'm sure it must have to do with prevailing winds. Is that what it was?
It's actually funny you asked that, too, because that was at some point 2 years ago, 3 years ago, somewhere in there, we decided to go clockwise. And we promised you there was a rhyme or reason to that. And in the last year since then, we've been asked, and before we left, we got asked, and along the way we got asked, and we don't remember why we chose clockwise.
So there wasn't any. This wasn't mapped out in that sense. Yeah. But you came in, then you followed through the South Shore coming on home, mm-hmm, into the harbor there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, the obvious choice is Lake Superior. That's I always get this confused, but Lake Baikal, Lake Superior, one of them's bigger than the other, but I don't recall which it is. So.
It goes by surface area. Lake Superior is the largest freshwater lake in the world. By volume, it's Lake Baikal.
Okay.
And that's in Russia, and mm-hmm, so it's deeper and has more volume to it, but there's still enough, there's still enough water, fresh water in Lake Superior to cover both North and South American continents with a foot of water.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I suppose Lake Baikal will be your next adventure.
Yeah.
It'd be a fun one.
It would be a fun one. Now, before you started, you decided to build your own kayaks. And here in Grand Marais, we're pretty attuned to that because they've been building them at North House Folk School for a number of years, and a lot of residents have done that. It didn't work out on your adventure. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's cool, actually. That was the connection we had to Grand Marais. Was I came up in April, I want to say it was, and met with Mark Hansen and talked with him. We had at some point decided we wanted to build our own boats to do this, and we were intrigued with the skin-on-frame kayaks, and obviously the North House does that class. So we met with Mark, and John had wanted just to suss out whether those boats would actually work for what we wanted to do. They did. We were pretty smitten with them, and then that course got canceled. And the idea was to do the course through the North House a couple months prior to our leaving. That got canceled. And so then we ended up, Greg found a online tutorial. And this was kind of a stab in the dark, but I mean, it consisted of going to Menards, picking up wood, and following the steps online. And neither of us have much of a woodworking background, let alone boat building. We had never done that before. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of details and a lot of things that go in to building a kayak. It turned out, I mean, it's a boat that floats, both of them. We both built individuals, and they are skin and frame Greenland kayaks, and lower profile, lower storage than what we wanted, and their stability was a little bit less than what we wanted. Ultimately, we tried to leave Duluth. We finished building them down in White Bear Lake 5 days before we were supposed to leave. So we got to test them on White Bear Lake for about 5 days. We did a couple days with fully loaded boats, and it felt a little bit better, but the stability was just not there for us. We were not comfortable in them. For me, the measuring out for your feet, we had made some adjustments to them and put on rudders. And so the tracks for those rudders shortened what room I had for my feet. And so pretty uncomfortable. We tried to leave anyways. On the 26th of June was our official day. That didn't work out. We ended up making a emergency landing right in front of the inn there, the hotels in Canal Park, 3/4 mile on our first day. and it was actually kind of funny. Fox 21 News from Duluth was there to see us off, along with a lot of friends. And so they did this little piece, and it aired on the 10 o'clock news that night while we were laying in our hotel bedrooms watching our story on 10 o'clock news when we should have been up to Stony Point by then. But it just came down. We were able to fix the problems, you know, as far as the leaks and things like that go. They weren't comfortable with it, and we couldn't really visualize doing a long 3-month trip in these boats. And it was a really tough decision. We spent 4 days to make that call.
And kind of him and Han. And I think it came down to the stability was such that we wanted to, one of the projects we did as well as paddle around the lake was we wanted to produce a feature length documentary about our trip. So for that, we had mounts on these camera mounts on these kayaks, and it would have been kind of a pretty wishy-washy video had we decided to stick with the skin on frame. So that played into it as well.
So what we ended up doing was finally made that call. And again, we had spent over 100 hours and two months building them. But we came back to what our original goal was. And our goal the whole time from 2005, when we first talked about it, was to kayak around the lake. And it didn't matter what kayaks we did that in. So we ended up bailing on those. We spent 4 days in Duluth trying to figure that out, and ended up getting a couple Perception kayaks from a good guy rep in Duluth or south side of Duluth. He helped us out, and ended up loading those up. We had a ton more space and a lot of stability, and just did a little bit of outfitting on them to put those camera mounts onto the new boats, and Greg transferred a rudder over. But other than that, they were all set to go for the most part, and helped us get around the lake. So we ended up leaving 4 days later than what our original plan was, but on the 30th was when we actually left.
Well, I believe you guys have got enough film. You're planning a documentary about your trip.
Yeah, right now we've hired two editors out of the Arts Institute down in Minneapolis, and basically shoved about 75 hours worth of raw footage, put it in their hands, and they're in the process right now of capturing that into a digital form and kind of tagging, it's called. So you take like sections of film and label it and put similar sections together, so it's easier for the editing process. And that's a whole thing that's brand new to Luke and I as well. We have, you know, part of the reason of going to the Arts Institute and finding two really capable students there was because we just have no clue what that's like. And to be honest, I can't imagine watching 75 hours of film after a trip that you've just got done doing.
I think you made the bright move there you guys are outdoor guys. You don't need to be in there editing your film. But it sounds at some point you'll have a documentary to view for folks to view.
That's the hope. The time frame is roughly a year because they're both students as well. So, this is for us really phase two of this project. The first phase was obviously the trip, and now it's really a team of four. Katie and Josh are editors, and so they're busy as well. They have internships, and they have their senior year to work with, but it's about a year. And it's funny too, that's what we talked about in the beginning. They had a lot to teach us about film and filming and just the ins and outs. What we've said all along is we're paddlers, we're not filmers. And so we learned, it was quite the learning curve, I think, for us on that part.
Well, there's a lot of things that can happen on a big body of water like Lake Superior. It has different moods, and it can get kind of angry at times, and I'm sure you ran into that. What kind of safety equipment did you bring along? And I'm sure going through a course at UMD, you were well prepared as far as knowing the rescues. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we actually made a decision to get up and do some kayak guiding in some larger bodies of water up in Alaska last summer, or the summer before. And so that was kind of part of it. We got to practice a lot of the rolls, the wet exits, the re-entries, so that if something does happen, that we were able to get not only safely out of our kayak when it's upside down, but also re-enter it and get back into the kayak. Other than that, the gear, it's the typical paddling gear. You've got your first roll, or your roll is your first line of defense. If you can do a good C2C roll and basically turn yourself from upside down back to right side up, then you're happy. And if not, then you get a little bit wetter and a little bit colder. And we had dry tops and dry bottoms on, so that if it all went to pot, to say, you know, we could spend some time in the water kind of piecing our equipment back together before we had to get back in. So dry suits, or dry tops, dry bottoms, paddle floats, water bilge pumps to empty out your kayak when it gets full of water.
I think more importantly than all that, we had each other. So,
okay, yeah. You
know, whenever the one time we really needed it, we had three dumps, we'll say, throughout the trip. And the first two is each of us. It was on a surf landing. And the second, or the third one, I guess, was Greg going in, but he spent less than a minute in the water.
Yeah.
And it was because I was there. And so, I mean, one of the best rescues you can do is get help out your paddler friend. And
now,
that's what we used.
Were you tenting every night?
Yeah.
And how did that go as far as finding places to camp?
Pretty sporty sometimes.
Yeah.
It's the North Shore, for those of us that are really familiar with it, it's pretty rocky. There aren't a lot of really flat areas or prime real estate for a tent. That changed as we continued clockwise around, got into Ontario, and we started to see more and more sand beaches, more cobblestone, and then the South Shore of the lake was all sand. So for the most part, and that was beautiful, flat and...
Was there problems with private property or finding places that people would allow you to camp?
Yeah, everybody was awesome. We never had any issues. I mean, it is tough. The Minnesota section for sure is one of the more developed as far as, you know, jumping from private to public lands. So that was probably the biggest challenge, and that's right in the beginning of the trip. And so we, you know, that our pace, I think, was a lot slower at that point. Once we get into Canada, majority of it's crown land, and you're able to go wherever, whenever, for the most part. Michigan is it's funny, I had this conversation with Connie, the editor at Lake Superior Magazine, and she was saying, her observation was, it's not that it's less developed, it's just that you see less of it. It's not right up on the shorefront, and that's, I would say, a pretty accurate description for what we saw. More, you still see the cottages and the people there, but they're set back, and it doesn't seem as right up in your face. And so, yeah, everybody that we came across was fantastic. We never had any issues with where to camp, and we weren't, I mean, really intrusive as far as what we were doing either. We wouldn't stop right in front of somebody's cabin and pitch a tent and sleep. I mean, we'd try to tuck away. But at the same time, we were on the lake the entire time. I think there's only a handful of nights, four or five nights, that we weren't hearing the lake as we slept.
We're speaking with Greg Petrie and Lucas Will, and they've just completed, I shouldn't say just, it was in October, I think, that you finished, a 1,200-mile circumnavigation of Lake Superior by kayak. And... pretty exciting times, pretty exciting summer. What was the hardest part of the journey for you guys?
The third month.
Yeah. Okay. I think we had actually spent some time talking about this as well with another kayaker that's done a lot of expeditions, and he was saying that about the two-month mark is when it stops becoming a trip and it starts turning into an expedition. This is when you're tired of putting on wet, cold paddling gear every morning. You don't want to get up, no matter how beautiful the lake water is acting. You don't want to get up and paddle. You'd rather do almost anything else. And it was tricky because, you know, we're fighting. It wasn't so much a physically demanding thing at that point. Our bodies were pretty used to it. But it was more of a mental thing. We were ready to be done. Unfortunately, we had 500 more miles to go. Yeah.
Yeah, the lake is pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about, you know, I always think a lot of the enjoyment of that is the various people that you meet along the way. Maybe were there any special folks there that are going to be friends?
You know, that was the golden thread, I think, for both of us throughout this trip, was the amazing people we met, from literally leaving Duluth all the way back around. It was fantastic, and more than we ever could have imagined. From the folks, twice we met people that we had known them for 15, 20 minutes, and they threw us keys to their car and said, drive into Scriber, Ontario, to get groceries, do laundry, use the internet at the library. You know, we'll see you back later tonight. We got to paddle with a few of those people later on. In Wawa, Ontario, we got to stay at Naturally Superior at the mouth of the Michipicoten River for 4 days. That's when we had to wait for a food resupply to show up. And they put us up. I mean, they gave us some work to do for them, too, to help fix boats and, you know, around
help
the grounds.
Pay for our campsite.
Yeah, but we ate fantastic, and just we got to see some live music. That was a real treat for us. That was probably one of the things we missed the most. It was music. But yeah, all the way around, people were really stoked on what we were doing. Inevitably, we'd show up in a town, and it's not a lot of big towns, and so it was a very short amount of time before somebody asked us if we were the kayakers. And it wasn't always that. We didn't know how they always found that out. If we were on the beach in our kayaking clothing, that was one thing. But sitting in the bar out of the rain, hanging out, they'd still come up and ask us. Maybe the growing beards. I don't know.
Maybe a smell.
Yeah, they'd track us down, though, and ask us. And so people would offer us spare bedrooms and porches and places to go crash if it was bad weather, if we were stuck there because of weather. They were really fantastic. And it's something we never got used to. You never expect that ever, no matter that it's happened 25 times. It was unbelievable, though.
I think the one thing that ties everybody around this lake together is the lake. There's a profound respect for this lake, and we heard it through heartfelt warnings and just the generosity that they would show and support we had. And like Luke was saying, you never expect that kind of support, but we were sure appreciative.
Had you driven at various times around different parts of the lake? Were you familiar with the countryside prior to this trip?
Outside of north of Thunder Bay, I'd never been. We've been in Nipigon, but not on the shoreline. I'd never seen anything. And all of the UP, I'd been to Marquette twice.
Yeah, that's about the same for me. I think Houghton. Yeah, that's about as far east as I've gone.
And the Apostles. We'd paddled the Apostles before.
Were there surprises then and what the terrain was like? And did you see beautiful places that you'd never thought you'd see? Is that what it's all about, kind of?
Yeah, I think the one thing that kind of blew me away was the water quality on this lake is pretty spectacular as well. Some of the cleanest, clearest that you'll find anywhere. And there are spots along Puckasaw shoreline there that not only is it the most remote section of the lake, but you're going to run into turquoise waters, deep greens and blues, and it looks tropical. And, you know, for the most part this summer, the water was tropical temperatures, too. We were swimming every day to, to bathe, you know, and just hang out.
We'd wake up, and first thing we'd do is go in the water. We'd do that at lunch. We'd do that at night. It was warm. And for me, as far as, like, the turquoise waters and feeling tropical, as soon as we hit the South Shore, literally into the Sault Ste. Marie, we stopped there for a couple of days, but Whitefish Bay, and then once we started heading west, all long, sandy, white beaches, beautiful water, warm water, up until the middle of September at least. But it was like the Caribbean. It's crazy.
I'm sure all the people you met appreciated that too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, you've ticked this one off your list, and it's a big trip. It's a huge trip. Does this lead to the next one in your minds?
I think, yeah. I don't know that I can specifically put a finger on what the next one's going to be for me, but yeah, I'm definitely open to, you know, Luke had mentioned earlier, going around the lake in a counterclockwise direction for sure. That'll happen at some point. But I don't, you know, we talked a little bit about Lake Baikal as well. I think that's both on our list, but nothing specific other than another.
For me, Baikal would certainly be one I'd like to do sooner. If I did Lake Superior again, it'll be a little while. But I'd go the opposite direction. I don't know. I'm still intrigued with water and canoeing, you know, whether it's Mississippi or the Missouri or long trips. I mean, this was in a way kind of a feeler too as far as long trips go, and for both Greg and I, our longest one, both in distance and duration. I'd be interested in doing another one.
Well, it's in your blood now. Is there a website people can go to? Did you develop one?
Yeah, they can check out superiordream.com, www.superiordream.com. We had it going throughout the trip. We had, along the trip as we went, we used a spot tracker. And so we had a tech guy help us out and kept a map updated so people could actually follow us as we went. And that whole map is on there now. It shows each day what the distance was. We're still figuring out our final numbers. There's a little bit of kind of to verify exactly where our route was because he had to guess between points. And so we're working on that. But we're still working on getting our pictures up that we've got, 1,500 or so that we're organizing of just the still frames. You know, the film is separate, but those will be up there at some point as well.
Great.
There's also a Facebook group as well for those Facebookers out there.
Well, that all sounds great. And at some point when your film is developed, it'll be on your website as well. We'll look forward to that.
Fantastic.
We've been speaking with Greg Petrie, now that we finally learned how to pronounce his name, Bob.
I think it's Petrie.
It is. See, there we go. We had two guys.
I was going to let it slide. I was just
you were a nice guy.
two chances to do it.
You know, I had friends as I was young, and their name, from Thunder Bay, their name was Petrie, too, and yet I still couldn't get it right. Go figure. And Lucas Will. I don't want to forget Lucas. And great to have you guys on, and good luck in the future wherever your endeavors go, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.